Switch up my lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah, I was a lost boy, now I'm found. Niggas pushed up, they can't come around. City's rap niggas biting my sound. Shout out my bitch for holding it down. I had to switch up my lifestyle. If she bad, I'ma go and fuck her lights out. Mama always told me I was a bright child. Nigga bitches saved on my iCloud. My goodness, my God, my gracious.
Welcome back, TNT Hoops, episode 22. Got my guy Ansel Jackson to the left of me. Quick Bucks on the mic, y'all know the vibes. Ansel, let them know the topics for today, boy.
Yep, Quiddy was good. So today for you guys, we got some just football topics with the season quickly approaching about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to touch on Hard Knocks a little bit, all that good stuff. Talking about the Phillies, Charlie Manuel waking up the bats recently. 2-game winning streak against the Cubs. Then we got our top five segment. Shout out to our guys Connor Jones and Adam Donovan for the suggestions. We're going to talk about some jerseys, top five cereals, sports movies, yada, yada, yada. Then we're bringing back the segment Facts or Cap, a fan favorite. We're going to talk about the USA men's basketball team getting blown out the other day. Cowboys with that whole Dak ordeal, asking for 40 mil, Zeke and Cabo. And then we're going to wrap it up with the NBA schedule, the tip-off schedule coming out this week. Actually, the overall schedule and some notable player returns.
Got to do some for Facts or Cap, though. We had to bring up Facts or Cap. Like Ansel said, it's kind of a fan favorite. We don't say fan, supporter favorite. But some of y'all be capping, right? Some of y'all be capping when y'all talking this sports. So we got to let y'all know if y'all capping or if it's facts.
All right. Yeah, so TNT Hoops, episode
22.
But thank y'all for tuning in. Hope we got a good episode for y'all. Love.
Speaking hot lava, a road to beat, my God. What you think of that, Brian?
Shout out YB and Corday too, man.
That shit not. TNT Hoops, episode 22. Quick Bucks on the mic. I answer Jackson to the left of me. Sully, how you doing today, bro?
Chilling, Quiddy, chilling, man. About to take a little vacay down on the shore for a little bit. But, you know, had to get the pod out. Talk about some of the recent events in the past 2 weeks or so. How are you?
For sure. I'm good, man. Just vibing, relaxing. You know me. Maintaining. Been worse, been better. But we get better every day.
Yeah. I guess for the worst part, we had some pretty somber news yesterday with the shooting that happened in North on the 3700 block near Temple's campus. Six officers were shot in stable condition and were released last night from the hospital. 36-year-old Maurice Hill. What are your thoughts just about that?
So my initial thoughts are, I don't think there's not many people in position to speak on this. It's kind of crazy, though. You see on Twitter and stuff, like, you may get a chuckle or two, but what people do for clout, I think clout is like a disease now.
Yeah.
People do anything, make jokes about this type of things. Like, people are actually getting shot, and we sit here making jokes. It's like if somebody was laughing when an innocent, you know, black kid was shot by a cop. Like, you can't laugh if you know, you're saying justice for Trayvon Martin. You're saying justice for, you know, people like that. So I think it's a little hypocritical, but I think it's definitely a tricky situation that not a lot of people can speak on, because some people aren't in that environment and they don't know what it's like to live in that environment. So those people are doomed from day one. That's all I can really say on that specifically, but it's obviously you don't want to see things like that happen. Innocent people getting shot.
Yeah, to couple what you said, like, just it's very hard to kind of relate to living in the heart of North when you're behind your phone screen or your computer screen and you're tweeting all these people should be reacting one way or acting another way. Like, as you can see from the videos, they're literally numb to it. Like, if people are
going to
see the block being barricaded off and it's just almost like normal life is going on around it, like, that should tell you all you need to know about the state of our country and the state of how we treat the people in the inner city. For me, I'm just a big on the gun stance. Like, I don't think that anyone should own an automatic weapon. I understand, like, the handguns and just the simple right to bear arms. Like, Americans should, you know, have that right, but no one needs an automatic weapon. No reason you should be able to fire off 17 rounds in 10
real
seconds.
Life Call of Duty.
Yeah, so
especially with people, irresponsible people that have no conscience.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was a crazy situation. Obviously, what, six cops shot?
Yeah.
They were all They were all released from the hospital, though, right?
Yeah. So all of them are everyone in stable condition. So prayers up to the families, everyone that was involved. Shaka Johnson, the guy's lawyer, I guess was the guy that told him to surrender, is from what the reports say. So it's good to see, I guess.
What, he called him?
Like, yeah, they said he called his lawyer. I know he was panicking while he was in there. So it's good to see a lawyer, even though he's going to be defending this guy, just having the wherewithal to just say, hey, listen, let's end this shootout, and let's just start to get everything settled in the courtroom. But let's move on, man. This is a sports podcast.
So, you know, we got football season around the corner.
I mean,
Eagles-Jackson, like, I don't really care about preseason to really talk about that, but Foles is obviously returned. No, he's not. It's not Philly. It's in Jacksonville.
Yes, in Jacksonville.
So Foles isn't playing tonight, actually, though. So I don't think Wentz will be either. I don't really take too much stock in the preseason. Obviously, that's just for the guys that are trying to make the team, not for, you know, the top dudes on the team.
Yeah.
But football season's coming back. I mean, obviously, I care about when the real deal starts. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's just good to see, I guess, the guys get back on the field. Not to talk much about the preseason game last week, but like, it was good to just see our draft picks like Dillard, guys like Josh Sweat just getting some good reps in. League wide, like, I think it's going to be a real interesting season. Given.
You already know the Bears taking
it. Yeah, from our stance, with Wentz coming back, like, this is like the big prove it year, you know? Like, even on ESPN last night, like, big midnight topic was Wentz injury, and will he be able to overcome that? And for me, like, I don't like to think about injuries until they happen. So, like, it's kind of weird to see just such a magnifying glass on Wentz, particularly when Andrew Luck goes through just as many injuries.
Luck's been in the league 1 year longer than him, too. 1 or 2 years longer. And he don't get the whole injury-prone thing. So, I think give Carson some time. The dude was about to be MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he's the same level as – people look at him as average to below average, and I think that's insane. But like we said, he's going to come back this year healthy, not worrying about the knee, no brace, not worrying about the back, none of that. And he should be back to, you know, MVP form. Hopefully, he's back to MVP form. He got a lot of weapons around him.
Yeah.
I see up there you got Goddard, you got Ertz, you got two tight ends that are – huge, always open.
Mm-hmm.
You got DeSean Jackson open the field up now. You got Alshon on the other side. You got Nelson in the slot.
Yeah.
You bring in a JJ Arcega, not Arcega, Arcega, Whiteside. Yeah. And you got Mac Hollins. So, I mean, we got offense is crazy.
Basically, you just got to get to the preseason healthy, man.
Get the preseason healthy. I didn't even mention the two backs we got. We got Jordan Howard and we got the kid, Booby Miles, from Penn State. So, I mean, we look good.
Yeah.
We look good on paper, but... You know.
Heard that before. I saw something, I guess Bleacher Report asked, like, what team are you more excited for, the 08 Dream Team, or was it, not the 08, the 2012 Dream Team, or this 2019 Eagles-Birds team?
Yeah, so, who am I more excited for?
Yeah, like, I guess the anticipation for the season, were you anticipating that season more, or this season coming?
Wait, what team was it?
Vince Young, Deshaun, Sean McCoy.
I mean, I'm more excited for this team just because we have the same core as the team that won the Super Bowl, but we added better skill position players at skill positions. So common sense tells me we could be crazy. You know what I'm saying? That team was still trying to prove it with Vic and with McCoy and D-Jack and Macklin and Selick and those guys. They were trying to prove themselves in the league. This team is already one of the top dogs realistically because – 2 years in a row, you make the playoffs with your starting quarterback going down. Like, that means you have a pretty solid, you know, full roster.
Beat the best defense in the league last year in the Bears. Yeah.
Definitely did beat them. I forgot about
that. Another Philly sports topic. We got the Phillies heating up a little bit, just a little two-game win streak after making Charlie Manuel, our batting coach, relieving John Malley of his duties after a 1-3 stretch against the Giants.
Exploded. His name is John Malley?
Yeah. Well,
the head coach?
Well, yeah.
Before?
It's nice to see Manuel back in the dugout. I don't know about you. I'm not watching the Phillies every single night, but it's almost like a comforting thing. Like, you see him just like almost in the same position, dabbing dudes up. Like, guys, they look like they're comfortable.
I mean, it's been one game, bro.
It's been two games. It's been two games.
It's been one. Yesterday was the first game in the dugout.
It was the second.
So he was in the dugout?
He was in the dugout for the first Cubs game when we won.
He was in the dugout for that game?
Yeah, 4-2.
Okay.
And then last night as well. So, I mean, you see Bryce and all the other guys kind of gravitating towards him. So, whether that's his moxie or just, like, having, like, that old dude in the dugout, I think it was a good change of pace. And so, if the bats stay hot like this, hopefully we can stay in the wild card race as Atlanta and the Mets are in the series right now. And
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, hopefully they can make a little run here, because this year will be completely disappointing if they don't make the playoffs with, you know, signing Bryce Harper, signing Segura, signing all these guys in, you know, the regular season to make basically this three-year window, because you got Segura for the next three. You obviously got Bryce for 10, but you got Realmuto, I think, for the next three. I'm not sure about the contract, but I'm pretty sure they're all in this window. So, I mean, you're competing for championships, like, starting now. Yeah. And as bad as we've been, as hot and cold as we've been, it's crazy. We can't hit. We haven't been seeming to hit all together. Like, when guys hit, everybody doesn't hit. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a good thing for Charlie Manuel, you know, coming back, bringing that the familiarity to the, you know, clubhouse and all that. But the main thing I wanted to say is I was listening. They were talking about how Gabe Kapler loves this launch angle, mm-hmm. which is like a certain type of swing, right? So you're trying to hit home runs, right? So you're basically turning most of your hitters, even if they're just a 20 to 25 home run guy, you're trying to make them a 30 home run guy, right? Just because you're swinging the bat a certain type of way, which is leading to strikeouts, leading to pop-ups. Like, you know what I mean? So even like...
But the law of averages say that over time, like,
we should producing a lot of runs. Bryce Harper has 23 home runs. He should be in the 30 range. Yelich has almost 40 right now, right? So, I mean, is it really working? Is the approach really working? So, I mean, it's good to see Charlie Manuel back, like you said. He was the guy that was there when I used to watch baseball every day with Jimmy Rollins and Utley and Howard and Victorino. And he was, they all were hitting well at all times.
Yeah. I just want us to stay in the race right now. I think we're like, what, two or three games back in the wild card spot. So we're just like, we just got to get in. I don't really care much about winning the NL East right now.
We won't win it. I mean, the Braves are like 8 games ahead of us.
Yeah.
So everybody else too.
And hopefully the Mets cool down, because like the Mets just went like 14 to 15. So. Right. We shall see, but go Phils, man. Let's get into our top five segment. We got some submissions from our loyal listeners, Connor Jones and Adam Donovan.
Yes, sir. The homies, Connor Jones, Adam Donovan. They both hit me up. They both hit up TNT Hoops, and you know, we just requested if anybody had any top five list that they wanted to hear, and both of them, you know, gave us a couple. So we're just going to use those on a pod today. You guys can listen and tell us what you think, and maybe, you know, tell us what your top five would be for those certain ones.
Yeah.
So it's the first one we got.
So our first topic for the top five segment, the top five NBA jerseys. One of my favorite topics. I'll let you start off.
Okay. So there's me and you kind of took a different approach, I think, right? So I did like more so like classic to who I think is the most, you know, popular NBA jerseys, the coolest ones. And I guess you did like just the look of the jersey, right?
Yeah.
So my first one was... LeBron, St. Vincent, St. Mary, high school, Irish, the green, you know, he was the crazy, golden green, he was John, the golden child, the chosen one. So that was his classic jersey. That was my first one. None of these aren't really in order. These, I guess, it's just a five classic ones. Then I got Iverson, the Hoya jersey at Georgetown.
The gray one, right?
The gray one, because I actually had that jersey, and, like, that's when it all started, right? John Thompson was the only coach to give him a chance.
Yeah.
Everything made sense, so that was like a classic jersey. Kobe at Lower Merion, just because I played in the Central League and I have a connection to that. Like, he really played against our rival. He really played at my rival school in high school. And he's my favorite. He happened to be my favorite player to ever play. So Kobe at Lower Merion, that 33 jersey. What else I got? I got Steph at Davidson. Like, you got a little light skin. Yo, yellow dude running around wearing a low major D1 jersey, and Davidson kind of was on a map after that.
Yeah.
Then I just got the Jordan Bulls jersey, because Jordan just revolutionized the game.
Classic 2-3.
Classic 2-3. Whatever whatever color you want to do. If you have a Jordan 23 jersey, you see chicks with Jordan dresses, that's not it. But, you know what I'm saying? You got the same. You get the vibe, right? 23, Chicago Bulls.
For me, I just took the angle of my top five NBA jerseys that, like, just look-wise. The 90s, that Phoenix Suns purple jersey with this big sun on it. You know, the John that everyone has, a Charles Barkley one. That Houston jersey and from that 95 era with the
Kenny Smith.
Yeah, Pippen, you know, with the rocket on it, the pinstriped one. Then we got the Grizzly, the Vancouver one.
That shit is fire.
Yeah, the dark teal. Or not the dark teal, the light teal.
White teal. It's fire.
And then they also bring the black ones back, too.
They bring them
for
back,
the first
right.
year, so that's going to be lit. And then the teal Pistons jerseys. Remember them Jones? I guess the Joe Dumars years, early 90s, 2000s era.
Yeah. John Morant about to turn it up in them Grizzly jerseys. I want to say that. But you said the Pistons?
Yeah, that the teal ones where like got the actual piston on it.
Right. Oh, yeah, there. Yeah. Those are fire, too.
Love the look of those. And then the obviously the purple Raptors, Vince Carter, John. A classic, just of all the moments that you have, and it's half purple, half black.
Okay, I feel that vibe. Like I said, we took different angles, but I mean, we got it done. Top five jerseys.
Next one we got top five cereals.
Top five cereals. A little off topic, a little off brand. Some of y'all get off brand cereal. I'm some of y'all, but say the you go first. Your top five cereal.
Top five cereal. All right,
top
so
five cereal probably trash, boy.
All right, Frosted Flakes coming in at number five. Just a classic drone. Sometimes you add.
You said Frosted Flakes?
Yeah, coming in at number five. Frosted Flakes, respect. As a young boy, I was crazy. Added sugar to it, which probably leads to my diabetes coming up. Special K, Vanilla Almond. Them drones go crazy.
Special K, who's made it?
Special K go crazy.
You said almond, too.
Then the Lucky Charm. No, I don't use almond milk, whole milk, baby.
Whole milk, milkshake.
Then Lucky Charms and Honey Nut Cheerios coming in at number two. Then number one, best cereal of all time, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
This man has a childish list of cereal, bro. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms.
What you eating, Chex over there? What you got on your list?
Here we go. So my top cereal ever. Everybody, make sure I listen to this. My top cereal right now. Well, it's right now because I kind of go on a vibe, like, in stages of life. What I like.
Oh, so you still eat cereal consistently.
I still fuck cereal. Okay. Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch or Crunch Berries, always a fire. They hurt the roof of your mouth, though. They taste weird, like, hurting you. Everybody know what I'm talking about.
They cut the roof of your mouth.
They cut the roof of your mouth, but just don't eat that much. Like, you being greedy. Right? So that's my favorite. I ain't going to say favorite. It's just my five. The Frosted Flakes. Frosted Flakes is a classic. You can't go wrong with Frosted Flakes.
Ever.
Don't add sugar to it. Don't be that guy. You probably add sugar to your Frosted Flakes.
As a young boy, you add sugar to it.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. That's straight diabetes. And then I got Raisin Bran Crunch.
Are you a freak?
That's good. Raisin Bran Crunch.
What made fun of Special K eat raisins in his
What? Raisin Bran is way over Special K. Don't even listen to him. Raisin Bran is money, especially with the almonds or the little granola. Money bags.
Granola jones go crazy.
Money bag. Then I got Honey Bunches of Oats.
Okay.
Honey Bunches of Oats is money. And then I actually only have four, but I'm going to say Honey Nut Cheerios because that's good. Pause that. Honey Nut Cheerios is my fifth to round out my cereal. We don't use almond milk. We either use 2% or whole milk. We don't use almond milk. Almond milk is not good. People are like, almond milk. Yeah. Unless anybody want almond milk sponsor, y'all want sponsor, I could talk it up. But
then maybe we'll start using it.
That ain't it.
All right, next one we got submitted by Adam Donovan, top five sports movies.
That's a reason, Brent. You got what? Top five what?
Sports movies, yeah.
You go first again.
Okay. Air Bud coming in at number five, the entire series. John is a classic. The GOAT on the field, on the court, on the volleyball court, all that. Air Bud's a man. Mm-hmm. Space Jam, strictly off of just the rewatchable aspect of it. I can watch Space Jam at any time. Hopefully, Brown doesn't ruin it. He Got Game, definitely just one of my favorite movies as a kid. Directed by Spike Lee, Yummy, Ray, all that. I debated with my top two, but I think Glory Road is definitely two for me. I think that movie just like emotionally, it was just real cool. And then the best sports movie of all time, probably like one of my top two favorite movies, Remember the Titans. I don't think there's a better sport relationship like between your teammates and the community, all that like jumbled into one. Remember Titans by far, I think it's my favorite movie. What about you?
All right, so most of ours are the same. I don't even think it's that many sports movies that interest me. You know me and movies.
Yeah.
But we gonna get Space Jam in there. I'm gonna throw Space Jam in the mix. I got Air Bud was cool. I thought it was cool watching it when I was younger. If I watched that now, though, I probably wouldn't think much of it.
That's not really flames,
creative
though.
Like, it's not. I mean, it is creative, but it's not like, you know what I mean. It's like nothing creative.
How not? Like, yeah, you got a dog that come in and save the day every
time. It's not
time
realistic. I don't have imagination for all that. Like, there ain't no dog about to beat me in basketball. Like, I'm cooking any dog.
You
see
you
later,
Air Bud.
See you later.
You catch an oops from anywhere.
Golden retriever. I'm not trying to hear it. I remember the Titans definitely up there. We used to watch that. We used to watch that like every Friday. Straight up growing up.
Who's
that
your daddy, Bertie?
It's definitely a classic. Coach Carter. I didn't hear you say Coach Carter. I don't know if you don't like Coach Carter like
honorable
that.
Mention. He was an honorable mention.
Yeah, Coach Carter was That's definitely my favorite sports movie ever.
He really had Cruz do like 30,000 push-ups.
Actually, a funny story. So Coach Carter, actually, y'all gonna hear this story. So Coach Carter is actually, we started in seventh grade. One of our teammates, you know, he had lied to our coach and said he forgot his shorts or something. And our coach was like, all right, well, he said, why'd you have to go home? He said he forgot his shorts. Our coach actually saw him running home to get his, he forgot his shorts, but he told my coach that he was getting his little brother. So my coach was like, why were you late? He said, I went to go pick up my little brother. He said, but I saw you running across this way and your little brother's school is that way. So like he got caught up in a lie basically. So he was like 100 push-ups for forgetting your shorts and 1,000 push-ups for lying to me. So Coach Carter inspired me, Nick, we were all like, Coach, we'll help him. We all start knocking out push-ups, and it was like a cool moment. But it was kind of lit. But that was a corny story. But Coach Carter, and then Loving Basketball, bro. Loving Basketball was fire, bro. I watched Loving Basketball like 30 times. I was trying to find my chick. I love Hooper chicks, but you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to find my chick, but it didn't work out like that.
Y'all play for your heart.
I'm trying to cook a girl for her heart. Like, yo, play me one on Wild Stars, man. What a crazy one.
Some honorable mention in there, Mr. 3000. R.I.P. to Bernie Mac. I don't know if many of y'all have seen that movie, but it's a joint where he basically came out of retirement to get the 3,000 hits. It was a real good joint.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Angels in Outfield?
Yeah, Angels in Outfield was a good joint too. It's really a lot of sports movies. That joint used to come on Disney Channel. Used to be had me lit. All right,
what's the next one we got? Top five.
We got two more for y'all. General base against the men from Adam Donovan. Shout out to you. Top five fan bases. Just overall, across all sports, how I approach this. I went 5-1 again. Number 5, we have Cleveland, just because there's nothing else out there in Cleveland except for sports and big factories, so they got to support their sports. I got Pittsburgh after that. The support they show for the Penguins and the Steelers. They're only two sports teams, obviously overwhelming. Dallas coming in at number 3. Number 3, just because I think there's a lot of bandwagons in Dallas fan base. So it's kind of hard to just say like y'all the most loyal when you have fans spattered around the country that have never even been to Dallas.
So your top 5 fan bases are loyalty, or
so I coupled loyalty and actual attendance numbers in it, and I'll explain more after the list. And I got Boston at number 2, and then Philly is number 1. Obviously, it sounds a little biased with Philly, but if you look at the numbers from the NBA attendance, we were number 1 last year, 20,000. Per game, it was like 20.4 per game. The best traveling away fans for football. Like we're in the top 5 for football, like top 5 or 10. Obviously, our stadium isn't as big as Jerry World and stuff like that.
How do they track the traveling?
Yeah,
they actually track.
Yeah, so they actually have, they track the away and traveling fans. Somehow, I don't know the exact.
Yeah, we definitely have to be at the top because remember we packed the Rams every time we go play.
Feels like a home game. Yeah. So just like the traveling aspect. We sell out. I think we've sold out for 8 straight years at the Bird Stadium. We're top 3 in NHL and then top 10 in baseball. So, like, all that coupled together, I think Philly just has a loyal fan base through and through. Like, you and I, like, we're not the biggest baseball fans, but we'll stow you down to the ballpark a couple times a year, stuff like that, where you have other cities like LA, like, people just don't even care, you know.
So, that's your top 5?
Yeah, that's my top 5.
Cleveland, Pittsburgh. All right, so I will pretty much say the same. I'm actually didn't do a list for this one either, but I'm replacing Cleveland with LA. You have to, just because that's why I asked you, was it loyalty or attendance? Like, LA is just too popping up. Like, they attract athletes off of the city. Like, you have to give credit to
that. But that doesn't make your fan base. Like, so the question is top 5 fan bases. Like,
right, but they care about it. I'm just saying they care about it enough. Like, yeah, there's nothing in Cleveland, so that's all you have to root for. But that's like saying, okay, OKC is a top 5 fan base. Would you say they are? Like, I don't know. I just wouldn't put OKC or Cleveland in that picture. Even Portland.
Cool.
I just feel like the most popping sports cities are Philly, Boston. Well, it goes LA, Boston, then probably Philly.
Well, I couldn't say OKC because they only have one sport. You know what I mean? So you don't know how they react to the other sports that would come into their city. But with Philly, the reason I was able to put Philly at number 1 is because in the top 4 sports, we're top 5 or 10 in each thing.
I mean, you could always OKC, you could say Oklahoma football. Like, you literally can say, like, what they root for, like Oklahoma's football, I'm pretty sure they get, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure they get great attendance and people care about that as well.
But it's also how much people talk about your fan base as well. Like, I feel like Philly fan base is always in, like, we had the preseason, that fight last week, or when the kid's yelling in that lady's face. I feel like we're always targeted by other fan bases because they know how rabid we are. And, like, that rabidness is almost a loyalty, yes, I think.
But. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, people know. Athletes know. You come to Philly, like, you better be on your shit because our fans crazy, like, and it's passion. Like, people, they care. You know,
and we don't let people slot. Like, that's a part of they things, care. Too. Like, you can
but
be in
about
LA.
New York? Not to cut you off. What about New York? Is New York
New York probably terrible. Replaces Cleveland.
They've been terrible in basketball for a year. I mean, obviously Yankees are good, but they've been horrible. Knicks been horrible basically ever, and they always pack that. I mean, that's a historic venue, but they pack that every game. Like, and people, athletes, like top athletes go to Madison Square Garden and want to put on their best performance just because, like, the vibe, the vibe in there is just different.
Yeah, it's mecca of basketballs. Yeah, so like... Yeah, so I would take out Cleveland, replace them with New York, but then Pittsburgh, Dallas, Boston, Philly would all stay there. And
okay.
Let's move on to the next joint. So got top five players we love to hate. I'll let you start
this
one.
I'll go first with this one. So, five I love to hate. So, first one, I'm going to say I don't really hate Eli Manning that much, like him personally. I hate his face. I just hate the face he be making. And I hated that he had those two Super Bowls. And then everybody started acting like, you know, he became like elite, like the elite level. Like, obviously, like, they went on two magical runs.
He played really well through those.
Yeah, he's been average for pretty much his whole career after that, even before that. He's been way below average, actually, after that. So, I hate Eli Manning.
Does that put him in the Hall of Fame, though?
So, yeah, he's going to be Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He won two championships. Like, people don't win Super Bowls. He won two.
Yeah.
And he beat Brady both times. But we don't like Eli around here. Then we got Rondae Barber. Real Eagles fans know why I hate Rondae Barber. I don't know what year it was, but to the crib, Rondae Barber took a Donovan McNabb pass on a huge possession in the NFC Championship, I believe. Back to the crib. I will always hate him for that. I don't even care about the Bucks, but I know they went on to play the Raiders in the championship, and somebody got smoked. Either the who? Yeah, there we go. Pull it right up. Don't even show. I don't want to see the pick six, but somebody got smoked. They either smoked the Raiders or the Raiders smoked the Bucks. No, the Bucks smoked the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I always hate Rondae Barber for that. And then I got Enes Kanter. Mm-hmm. Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter's just that dude that he's very easy to hate. He don't even seem like he fits in the NBA. He's good. Like, he can score offensively, but he don't even feel
he's
like
he's not
a
even
player.
Funny, man. Like,
he be trying to be so funny, but he don't.
Like, poke at Bron and, like, poke at other stars in the NBA. It's like, well, we're not even worried about you, bro.
Yeah,
like,
nobody cares about you, Enes Kanter. Like, he was trying to have the whole city of New York behind him for, like, standing up to LeBron. Like, nobody cares about you.
You got to make an impact to do stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. And you got to be somewhere and be that dude. Like, you're not that dude. You just bounce around team to team. Like, but, nobody likes
certified NBA troll.
He's a weirdo. Conor McGregor. And I'm not even going to lie, I don't hate Conor McGregor that much. I hate his fan base. I hate the people that support him because they try to act like he can do no wrong. And the same things that Floyd Mayweather was always, you know, criticized for, he doesn't get criticized for. And he stole his whole blueprint talking shit, trying to say he could beat people. And then lately he hasn't been backing it up. He started off, he had a crazy start to his career, but lately he hasn't been backing up. I don't remember the last time Conor won a fight, to be honest.
Last time I saw him in the ring or the octagon, Khabib was punching him,
all that. So I'm not trying to hear none of that Conor McGregor talk. And the video you just posted, the video we just saw on Twitter.
Yeah, him punching
the
old
man
in
Ireland because he's drunk. You know what I'm saying? It's always an excuse that always works for, you know, guys that look like him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say too much on that, but. Conor McGregor mostly hate his fan base, not so much him. And then the last person I have is every Cowboys player ever. I hate the Cowboys, especially Jason Witten. Jason Witten used to give us hell. He used to cook the Eagles bad. So I will never. I hate Jason Witten. I think isn't he coming out of retirement?
Yeah, he's playing this year.
Yeah, that's like a joke. I don't even worry about his slow ass. He probably start cooking us again. But I hate Jason Witten. Who's your five athletes that you hate?
Dak Prescott, strictly off the fact that he's putting in the same breath as Carson Wentz.
Or just elite quarterbacks, period. Like, he should always be middle of the pack. He's a game
manager. He is a Alex Smith 2.0. He is a better version of Trent Dilfer. He's the definition of average. And so the fact that he has, I understand it's a negotiation. You have to come out high and you try to like try to settle out a number with Jerry, but 40 million is crazy. Like, the fact that he thinks he can get paid more than once is crazy.
Yeah, pay him that bread. Then please, let Zeke walk. That's
by,
cool.
By all means, Cowboys, go ahead. Next, like you said, Eli Manning, just because, like, I don't know, he's just so bad, but, like, Giants fan love him. But at the same time, like, I can't really knock the guy. He beat the Pats, and like, he's one of three people to do that. Andre Drummond. he's just...
he's like, a dweeb, bro. Yeah, I should have put Whiteside.
He's just such a cornball, bro. Like the fact that he tries to just go at Embiid and then just gets his face cooked off.
Yeah, like, he just be doing that because he feel like he got a back or something to cut you. He be doing that because he feel like he not trying to look like he getting bullied. But yeah, they know they don't got nothing for Embiid. Him and Whiteside, they both know. But
I remember that story from the John from iCarly too.
Saying that like, was I ain't. So I don't know if you're I've. Like, follow all this random NBA news, but the chick from iCarly, Sam, the blonde girl, the one that used to be the crazy girl on the show, she was dating him in real life. I guess he was a little bit younger than her at the time. I think it's when he first got in the league. He came in the league when he was, like, 19.
Yeah.
And she was, like, he was super awkward. He was scared to kiss her and all this, like, weird stuff. Like, he when they went out, he was just weird. So, yeah, he's a weird dude.
Yeah, when he comes to Philly, I love seeing him beat cook him. Next, I got...
Yeah, I watched him beat cook him.
I got Bron. I love Bron. I think he's the greatest basketball player to ever walk the planet. Greatest basketball talent, not the greatest basketball story. But at the same time, like, I hate all the antics he does. And just, like, I don't know. Like, I love to hate Bron. So this is the perfect definition of a guy that I love to hate. Like, I'm not just going to just...
Dudes that, look, you're a typical dude that if you were in that position, you'd be... I know you personally, so I know you'd be the same way, bro.
I wouldn't handle... I wouldn't upstage multiple franchises the way he has.
What do you mean upstage multiple franchises?
Right, so, let's have the conversation. So what he did with Cleveland. Like, what when Dan Gilbert came out the other day and said, you don't put any stock into that, about how he couldn't build an actual team. He was basically just conceding to all of LeBron's demands and signing J.R. Smith to high contract.
They sucked. Yeah, they came in, they sucked. He came, he played, they never helped him out. He left. He came back.
I'm saying for that, the second year, not the first part.
They suck. They suck without him. He came there and won them a championship. He brought them the championship every year. How can you ask Dan Gilbert? He's sour about it afterward and say, oh, yeah.
He's
like,
not sour. Did you actually listen to
it? No, I did. I listened to it. Bro, I know the gist of everything that man will say about LeBron.
Everything was rushed is basically what he was trying to say. Like, with LeBron, he's like, oh, I need this now, because he does have a shorter window because he's obviously in his prime, but like, so that's not the traditional way that you build a team. Like,
so like, would you rather have that situation or Charlotte Hornets?
They're not the Hornets. I mean, I think a better comparable situation is what Kobe went through. When Kobe had that really shitty Shannon Brown, when he had the Smush Parker teams, and he just went through that and understood that, listen, we need to accumulate draft picks by maybe one or two bad years, and we're going to be able to get a free.
So like, you'd rather do that? Just like not lose or give yourself a chance to win a championship every single year.
I mean, but
what would you rather? This is my question.
He leaves franchises with a sour taste. Like, I mean, like,
he's only been on two teams.
I mean, he left Miami that Pat Riley had the same comments about him, right?
What comments?
Like that? Like, it was kind of hard to work with LeBron. It was hard to just appease to all of his demands because he's so great that obviously you have to listen to him. Right. But at the same time, it's like he. It's his way or the highway all the time. And
but
it's like,
isn't that every superstar? We can't just say LeBron. It is. Kobe was out the door, bro. They literally had to pull him back. Like, he was out the door. Pretty sure Jordan was the same way. Pretty sure Jordan demanded guys to come play with him. You're not going to, if you're that great, bro, you're not just going to want to waste your years. I just think it's this era of, he's literally been that dude that's been on the top of the pedestal and he needs to win because everybody else determines his career about how many championships he wins. So he wants help. It is what it is. Like, he's a great player. He's not just going to sit around and have role players play around him and be losing to the Warriors. And be losing to... Of course, he's going to want, like, good players around. Like, Dan Gilbert complaining and stuff, but that's because he's... Do you think Dan Gilbert is happy LeBron isn't on the team now?
I mean, so not Gabe. I'm talking about the GM, the guy that's with the Pelicans now. David Griffin. He's the one.
No, that wasn't... No, Gilbert was the one to say
no,
that, wasn't
no,
it?
No, no, yeah. So I apologize. It was Griffin. It was Griffin who made the comments. It was the GM. And he's saying, like, how much happier he is now with the Pelicans because he has the opportunity to build a young team and, like, almost slow walk the dog.
That's never going
to
win.
What?
That's never going to win. Zion is out of there. Like, that's cute now. They're going to be okay. Like, they're going to be middle up. They're going to be lower to the West and then we'll slowly move up to the middle pack. They're not going to build no team that's going to win the championship without no super, super star.
So if Zion chooses to
Zion not win no championship on, if he resigns on the team, he never win a championship as best player on the team. I don't think so personally. I gotta see.
I mean,
I beat more of a player.
I'm not all right. So I'm not saying they're a championship team, but the prospect. If you were to sign and all that, and Brandon Ingram will stay healthy and stay on his trajectory, and Lonzo Ball will just stay there.
I just think
that is a great
question. No, it is. It's a competing team. I don't think there's anything that's going to win you championship. But
if Zion is as great as we don't is supposed to be, like as great as we expect him to be,
I don't think so.
Playing with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram to score, nah.
I don't think so. That's just me personally. Like I've seen all those guys, and I know their ceilings are high, but I don't think championship. When I see other cores that are just better, like. I mean,
they're not going to be in this window in LeBron, KD, Kyrie window. They're going to be in the next wave. So when the Tatum and the Jaylen Browns are like the top of the league.
So it's that situation where you build it all. I just think the statement is crazy to say because it's that situation where you build through or you abide by the best player to ever play the game or, like you said, the best talent to ever play the game. Build around him every year and give yourself a chance to win a championship every year.
Yeah.
I'm taking that.
I personally take stability.
So I wouldn't hate.
Like the stability, hate stability always stands over, just always consistently shaking the snow globe.
And who's your number one, dude?
Russell Westbrook, number one, just because he's the most frustrating player to watch. Just because he stat hunts like most nights, and like it feels like NBA Twitter and the people that just kind of watch the box score just like will catch like the end of the game towards the highlights. It would lead you to believe that Russell Westbrook is probably the best point guard in the NBA, but like it's just not true. And I think as time has continued to go on, like we're seeing more and more that style of play that he's like
these type of players killing Russ on this, man.
But like it's just a fact.
But
I love Russ. I love his game. I love his intensity. But like I do hate how many people are just tricked by. I guess the numbers.
Intensity, like tenacity and all that. Tenacity, dunking and all that. Because I saw somebody on Twitter say, they were like, Russ, what did he say? It was like, Russ has never shot over 50% in a playoff series, and he shot under 40 in like the last nine or some crazy stat. And somebody said, it don't matter. He's still the best point guard in the league. And it's just like, I'm not going back and forth with Russell Westbrook with people anymore. He's about to play with Harden. Everybody said the Warriors were stacked. Everybody said all these teams around him were stacked. Russ had no help. Now he's about to play with the reigning MVP. Yeah. Harden won it? No, he didn't win MVP. But he's about to play with the reigning, who should have won MVP, in the backcourt with him. So I don't want to hear, he's a non-shooter. Yeah, they don't fit together.
This is the make or break year for
him. If Steph played with James Harden, they're chip. That's chip. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, Steph played with James Harden, that's a championship. And a lot of superstars in the league, they play with James, like a lot of point guards that can shoot the ball. So I don't want to hear, he's a non-shooter. They don't fit together. They both need the ball. Nah, make it work. You're the best point guard in the league. You're the best shooting guard in the league. Make it work.
Yep. All right, let's close it out.
No, we got one more, don't we? Oh, I did one more. I did sports rivalries. I don't know if you did that.
Yeah, no, I can go some off the top right quick.
All right, so I'll go first for that one. Last one, make it quick. Cowboys-Eagles. This is my personal top. I love when those two go against each other. Obviously, being an Eagles fan, we hate the Cowboys. Yankees-Red Sox, just because of the history of that. You know, everybody knows Yankees-Red Sox is crazy. I remember being younger. I think the Red Sox came back from down 3-0 on the Yankees. I don't know what year it was specifically, but that's one of the memories from my childhood.
It was definitely a 3-1 series. I remember that.
I think it was 3-0. The Red Sox went 4-3. I think. I could be wrong.
No, it was 3-1. Because that was the first time the Red Sox went in 0-4.
0-4. I thought it was, too. I didn't want to say
3-1 again. 7.
All right, then I got Barcelona, Real Madrid, just to get diversified a little classic, bit. You probably know about that a little bit more than I would.
Yeah.
UNC Duke, because, come on, y'all know that's the craziest college battle every year. Everybody tunes into that if you can. That's a college basketball game you watch. And then Celtics, Lakers, not so much a rivalry now, but just, you know, in the 80s, early 90s. And then they're just two teams that are consistently, consistently top of the league. They have the most championships in the NBA, so I got those as my top rivalries. You have any you just want to add?
Just like you said, Red Sox, Yankees, Real Madrid, Barca. I like the Eagles, Cowboys, one of my favorite rivalries.
On that list, that wasn't even like top 30. It was like, I think it was like 35.
Yeah, and it might be Giants. A Northeast thing, but. Like, I don't know. I love every time we play the Cowboys. Like, that game always just seems a lot more exciting than other regular season games. Nothing else is really coming to mind, though. I guess I'll do a Sixers-centered rivalry. I love when we play the Celtics. I think that's our best rivalry right now. I agree with all the other ones that you said.
Facts.
Yeah. Just like you said, facts. We're going to lead right into our next segment, Facts or Cap. So I'll start off by asking the question, Quiddy, the U.S. men's basketball team recently lost a scrimmage to guys of Justin Anderson, Chris Chizoza, Scotty Hobson, etc.
Just G League guys, overseas guys, basically a team full of them. Well, the you got two former Sixers on here though. You see Justin Anderson, Chasson Randall, both former Sixers. Shout out the process, baby.
Do you think the USA will win gold in the FIBA World Cup coming up? I think it starts in like 2 weeks. Facts or cap?
I think that is facts. I just have to believe in the guys we have. I think our guard play is what's going to take us. So we have De'Aaron Fox. They actually said De'Aaron Fox is starting over Kemba. But just having those two, Kemba, De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, I think ultimately like our guard play, we got Marcus Smart actually playing too, who can guard. Like I think that's all going to be the factor that takes us over the top, because it's crazy how many people dropped out. We have like our third tier, you know, NBA stars playing, third or fourth tier stars. Guys that aren't even perennial all-stars.
Yeah, I haven't put any stain in the league to where it's like...
You know what I'm saying? Chris Middleton being a starter. He's a one-time... I think this year was his first all-star game in the NBA. You got Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Guys that aren't all-stars, but just kind of like the... Like I said, the ascending stars in the league, not the top guys. But I say facts. They win it due to guard play.
Yeah, I agree. I believe that's also a fact. Just for all the reasons that you said. Like, we still have like a bench 12 guys that are all better than every single guy except for like two. We have like Greece with Giannis and his three brothers, like we said earlier, forget their names. Kostas and Giannis. And then you have teams like Serbia.
Who's Serbia? Serbia should have a little team. Valencia, Bogdanovic, Jokic, Mario. They got Boban playing. Yeah, they all from there. That's crazy. Yeah,
so,
Tito,
Chismito. So, it's solid team. So, I mean, the USA is going to – we're going to sweep through our group.
He's tough.
I think our group has Turkey. Who else in our group? Czech Republic, Japan. So, like, we should get through that. And if we, like, win all four of those games and have some confidence going into, like, those knockout stages, I think we'll be all right. Spain isn't as good.
Spain-ass. Is Marc Gasol playing? They got Reed Fernandez, Marc Gasol. Willie Hernan Gomez.
Juan Hernan Gomez.
Well, both of them. Ricky Rubio is playing.
Yeah, so that's the start. That's a solid starting five. Like, all guys that play in the NBA. Like, we should definitely smoke them, though, like, at the end of the day. Like,
but let's talk about this a little bit more. I was kind of getting into it before. So many guys have backed out and aren't playing. So, like I was saying to you a little bit before, the CJ McCollums, the Bradley Beals, not superstars, but that next level star in the NBA aren't even playing in this game. I mean, in this, you know, World Cup for U.S. Those are just two guys I named. We can name a few more that backed out of it.
The U.S.
Dame, Paul George, all those guys.
I think they should make it more competitive to where it's like if the guys that play in the FIBA World Cup like have an advantage on getting the Olympic team. Like, I know you're always going to let the Steph Currys, the LeBrons, the PGs play when they want to play, but there should be something like where it's like, all right, you still have to play like two games in FIBA or something like that, or have won a gold medal to be eligible to be on that roster. Like, put more incentive into the FIBA. You know what I mean? Like, it's because guys are just going to say, I'll just hang out in LA and I know I'm still going to get picked for the Olympic team. Like, Harden, LeBron, PG, Kawhi, like, all those guys, no matter what, like, they're going to be on that team, right? And so then you have like those middle tier guys who are also stars, like Russell,
D'Angelo Russell, right? Russell Westbrook's an Olympic team.
Yeah, I know, but like D'Angelo Russell, like, he's probably like by the time the Olympics roll around, he's probably gonna be on the team. Like, I'm trying to think of another guy.
Why did you say that? You didn't even really say, like, is he? Do you think is that a bold statement or no?
Bro, it's not a bold statement. I think he's flames. He's 23. Yeah, like, by the time the Olympics were 2020. Yeah, so this.
I don't know. You were talking like you had. I thought that was like a bold statement. Like, you're saying he was going to be.
But like, they're going to be competing for that roster spot. Like, they all those guys should be playing in the FIBA. You know what I mean? Like,
that just
have incentive. Like, just you have to put some type of tape down. Like, I know the NBA season is tape, but I don't know. International play is still important. Like, dominating it, but I guess when you win 8 straight gold medals, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So, like I said, I still think our top guys. Our third tier guys in the NBA can, you know, get it done and win the gold. You're just going to need, like I said, those guards to step up. And you're going to need your wings, like your Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They have to have, you know, they have to be big for us. I got to root for some Celtics.
I'm interested to see how P.J. Tucker is going to be able to play. Like, at the center. He's going to put a big man in international play.
He's going to play a four. shoot threes. Should have put Melo on the damn team. Like, you got guys like PJ Tucker, like, who's good? Like, I don't get me wrong. But you got all these young guys.
Melo wasn't about to play on that team, though. Like,
why not? Yeah, it's all about the distraction, but I would have put, like, he's good enough, bro. He should definitely be playing.
He should be. I'm saying, I don't think he would want to play on that team. Like, there's like, none of the guys in his peer group are on that team.
Yeah, not even close.
Like, so it's just like, he's.
He did it with, when Draymond, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, and them all them guys going, he was already, the old head. It was annoying. Yeah. But, that's fine. All right, we got, the next facts or cap we got?
So, the next facts or cap, we're going a little football related. The Raiders will win over 6.5 games. That's the line set right now for the 2019 season. Facts or cap?
The Oakland Raiders. Y'all might ask why we talking about them. I guess they're on Hard Knocks. We're going to talk about that a little later. But they're interesting team right now. Antonio Brown, his crazy situation. But for the facts or cap, I would say they are going to win under that this year. So that's cap. They're under.
Okay.
I'm taking under. 6.5. Taking under.
In the AFC West, I take the over. I think normally when you see a team on Hard Knocks, you got the Chargers, the Chiefs.
That might be the toughest division in football.
Broncos? No, the Broncos.
It's not. It's the Chargers, Chiefs. Yeah, it is the Broncos. Yeah. It's the Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, and the Raiders. I don't know, bro. I don't know. Me personally, what do you think? I got six, maybe 5-6 wins, but what we're gonna get into it a little bit more, Antonio Brown, but is he gonna how much is he gonna help them as opposed to hurting them?
All right, so I take over. I think for the reason that John Gruden has been in the stage before, like Hard Knocks, I think it's different scenario than when you see the Browns or when you see like a really shitty team on Hard Knocks and they have like it looks good for TV because everything looks good, like cut up highlights. But like he controls that locker room to a sense where it's like I think guys are prepared for it and you're not really showing much. Like the show is centered around him, so it's less cameras on your actual guys. Right, like if that makes sense. Like all the spotlight is kind of shining on him. So it's like you're on Hard Knocks, but it's not as bad, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Plus, given that he's a year into the NFL, won 4 games last year, which isn't great, but like you kind of get to figure out, like you get the speed of the NFL again after being out for like 6 or 7 years. Like he understands the play, like he has a playbook now built off of 2 years. You know what I mean? The defense looks
what's shaky about that team for me is like, did you watch the episode of Hard Knocks?
So I haven't watched the second one yet.
Okay, Derek Carr doesn't look like he's been fully, like, accepted by, like, the team and, like, by, as the guy, by, like, Gruden. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know if you get that vibe.
Yeah. Well, so the Jonathan Abrams one, that scene in particular is kind of weird because you have this rookie guy and he's kind of, like, he's having a back and forth with Derek Carr and he's kind of giving him shit a little bit. And, like, he's screwing him. Like, how you pronounce salmon?
Which is weird. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? The guys don't normally do that with your star quarterback. You know, like when Aaron Rodgers comes in the room, you can see like guys are like all respectful. Like they'll joke with him, but the way you joke with your quarterback is totally like it's almost like he was like, picking on him.
Like, right? So, yeah, that's your lead guy. Like I don't know about that. Antonio Brown's going to help them, obviously. But yeah, I picked it under. You were explaining.
I think, but just like the offense, when you have Antonio Brown, like it opens up a lot. Like they got the Jacobs from Alabama. Like so, it's like they still have a very complete team, one of the best offensive lines in the league. So I think when you can control the line, your defense has got a lot better, and you have a head coach who's shown the ability to lead, like a high powered offense, like at times. I think you could definitely touch over 6 games. We'll move on to the next topic though.
So for the next fashion cap, I'll ask you, what we have next? Cowboys. Yeah. They got 3 dudes. You got your 3 skill positions: quarterback, running back, wide receiver. All 3 of those guys want to get paid. You got Dak Prescott, you got Ezekiel Elliott, and you got Amari Cooper. Dak wants 40. Zeke, like, I ain't coming to rock with y'all until y'all give me my contract. Until y'all start restructuring my contract. Yeah. And Amari wants his money. So, will all 3 of those guys' contracts get negotiated, and will they all be Cowboys moving forward? Facts or cap?
Yeah, I think moving forward they will be Cowboys, but I think I don't think Zeke is going to be there for the first day of camp. So I think the way this plays out is that Dak is going to take a 1-year deal, like almost like a, not a franchise tag, but like almost a like a short term like a prove it kind of thing, where it's like, let me show you why I should get paid the big bucks. And then if he does play really well and they go deep in the playoffs, they're gonna have to give him 40 mil plus. You know what I mean? Because he's already has like a little body of work. But I don't think anything comes that, or he signs the 30 million. But I, like once you you shoot for 40, I don't think you take $10 million less if you think you're worth 40, right?
Sure.
They give Amari. I think they pay him just like the average top five wide receiver, but it's just for like a short term deal. Like it's like 4 years max. And I think Zeke is the one who's out of luck here, because he has 2 years left on his deal, and the Cowboys really don't have to flinch, especially if Morris can kind of hold the weight. Like you and I talked a little before the podcast, the first 3 to 6 games, like they have like the Dolphins on that schedule, the Giants, like Redskins. Yeah. Like, so.
I would say, I say it's facts. I just think those are three guys you have in skill positions. Like, it's guys you don't just see every day. You know, Jerry's going to get the job done. It's not like much to say about that. I hate the Cowboys. Don't really want to talk about them. Yeah. But, yeah, I think they get the job done and negotiate those contracts. Dak Prescott's not better than Carson Wentz, so I'm not worried about that. Yeah. Zeke is a monster, so we got to get our D-line's already nasty, so it's going to be good to obviously go against him for the next couple of years. Amari Cooper, we got some young dogs at corner ready to go now. So, we right with you. Sidney Jones, they say he having a great camp. They said Sewell having a great camp. Ronald Darby should be back.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Mills is the odd man out, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you're going to put Maddox in the middle.
Yeah.
You're going to put him in the slot or you're going to put him outside.
Because Maddox doesn't, he like, and the thing I like, I love Jalen Mills because he does make plays. That's one thing in football you can't take
away. He doesn't, though. Like, no, does he make plays? Like, I thought he was, because.
He makes game changing plays.
Compared like, to those, yeah, he so did
like, for every really bad play he'll have, like he'll have just like a series where he can guard Julio Jones. Yeah. You know what I mean, really well. Like, and so I don't know.
But they said Maddox is low key just the best corner of the team. Like talent wise, he's the most versatile. And then you got Sidney Jones, who they said has had so much, like his swag has just been crazy. Like he walking around like that number one corner. Like he's always going against the top dog. And then you got Rasul. Did I say Rasul already? Rasul on the other side, who makes plays. Like, that's making plays. I don't consider what you like. Rasul makes plays. Yeah, I think he had like 4 or 5 picks last year. The year before when he first came in, he was getting picks, deflections. Like, Rasul makes big time plays. He just can get burnt, just like how Jalen Mills was getting burnt because he's not the fastest guy.
At the same time, though, it's not a problem to have too many corners. Like, I think if there's any position we open up like an extra slot or two, it's going to be for the corner spot just because you see how quickly guy can go down. So I think Mills will make the team.
There's a lot of corners.
Yeah, but like.
So LeBlanc has to be the mob man out.
Yeah.
Because he's hurt right now.
And even but that.
I think like, they want to keep Kayvon LeBlanc.
Probably put him on the practice squad.
But you got Scandrick, too.
Well, Scandrick's back in the safety spot.
You playing a safety?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back there with Malcolm. But, all right. As it relates to the Cowboys, though, hopefully, like, this, I guess, dysfunction continues going into the first 2 or 3 weeks. It's just always fun to see them just have everything to worry about except football. So, I mean, if I was an Eagles fan, I'd be pretty upset about it. But we're keeping it nice and quiet over here in Philly at the NovaCare Complex.
Yes, sir.
Third gang. See you in the playoffs, Cowboys, maybe. Next thing we got, we're going to the NBA schedule. It's recently been released, and they gave us a slew of opening night games. So Quiddy and I are kind of just going to go through our tip-off predictions for that first week or so. So for the first game, we got the opener on NBA TV on Tuesday, October 22nd, New Orleans Pelicans versus the Toronto Raptors. The new look Pelicans with Zion, et cetera, et cetera.
What do you think? So who's at the Raptors? They're playing in Canada?
Yeah, they're playing at the Champs Building.
The Raptors will win. They'll win their first game back at home. You know, it's going to be a crazy game. You're going to have all that young talent.
Yeah, OG and Anobi's coming back.
Thanks. Yeah, with you, I'm talking about for the Pelicans, obviously. You're going to have Lonzo. You're going to have all those guys back on the court ready to improve. But then you're just going to have the defending champs on, the first night back. A lot of emotion. They're going to come out. They're going to be shooting the ball well. But it's a different type team. You don't have Kawhi now. I think the Raptors ultimately get that done.
Yeah. The NBA doesn't typically, like those teams normally come out and win that first game. I think it just is, as history is going to show us. But for this particular game, I think the Pelicans win. I think there's so much excitement and things.
Yeah, that's how it usually happens.
It's kind of going to shake the Raptors because that night is supposed to revolve around them.
I can see that.
But the that. Buzz is going to be around Zion. Like, people are showing up early for warm-ups for Zion. People are on their feet for Zion. So it's like, especially if, like people aren't going to be necessarily booing him, but people are going to, like, kind of be in shock. Like, I mean, especially if he's making a lot of plays and, you know, Alonzo. And it, so I think it's going to be real fun. Like, especially Drew Holiday has shown to, like, Kyle Irving may have a real slow night. Right?
Like, it may be like, Lonzo's dressed up too.
Like, it's going to be, yeah. I think that game was. Yeah, I got the Pelicans.
All right, right, so let's go to the next game. First, you said NBA TV. It's not NBA TV. I was scared for
TNT.
Time. TNT. Yeah, TNT doubleheader, man. We get Chuck back. We get Shaq back. We get Kenny back. You're tripping. You better than TNT.
We'll post these on Twitter and Instagram as well. Have you guys kind of go through and see who you take these opening night games. The next one we got the Sixers.
No. Same night. We got the Lakers, Clippers.
Wow.
You know, you got the Lakers. They start off with a bomb, little calm. Yeah, you got the calm
little atomic bomb.
Rookie versus defending champs that lost their superstar. And then you calm just go into the two LA dolls. What's up? 10:30. Everybody staying up that night.
Brown versus Kawhi. Yeah. What's that, a Tuesday?
That's a Tuesday night. Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be a slow day at work.
Stupid. I'll go first this one. I will take. I think you go first. I went first last time. I actually want to hear what you guys say too.
I got the Lakers, man. Like, I saw it technically, it's a home game for the Clippers, and it'll be all Clippers stuff in the middle.
That's going to be so interesting.
It's going to be all L.A. in there.
It's cool.
Like, L.A., Bron, AD jerseys just bombed yellow. Like, it's going to look so... Like, I mean,
but
like,
is everybody in that... That's so crazy, bro. I can't even imagine.
It's kind of going to be like an open gym, though, too.
That's what I'm saying. It's L.A.
Yeah, everybody, like, people going to be just like cheering for anything. Like, anything good that happened. Like, if Pat Beverly, like, plucked LeBron or something like that, like, the crowd's still going to go off. Because I think we've kind of bought into Kawhi a little bit as, like, the underdog story.
I hope PG back by then.
He's not. He's not going to be there for the opener.
Man, that's
cool. Sure. Yeah, I think the first 6 weeks of the season. So, I mean, but you still got to – That's why I think the Lakers will win, but – What do you think? How do you think the game will go?
Lakers are going to win. They're going to win that first game. I ain't know if PG not playing, they're definitely going to win. Not definitely, but they're my favorite for that game. You know, LeBron, he wants to come back and just show. Like, he like, oh, Kawhi, you the dude now? All right, come on. Let's see something real
cool. 38.
Right at him.
Whatever the over is for LeBron's points that night, take
I'm taking it. He's going nuts with that first game. Yeah. I remember last year he came in. Right hand tomahawking, but at the beginning of the year, he's so crazy. Now you gave him a couple months off. LeBron gonna be.
He
crazy.
Hasn't played in a pick. Like, he hasn't even played in the. You normally catch Brown in those, like, maybe like a league game or something. Like,
He probably playing somewhere getting crazy where there's no cameras. But now that's gonna be crazy. I got the Lakers.
Okay. So the next night, the night that I kind of jumped the gun on, we got
the
opening
got the process,
game on ESPN. The Philadelphia 76ers, the new look 76ers. The Twin Towers
process,
through.
Baby. Who we got, man? Who we got?
We got the Honey I Shrunk the Kids Celtics.
Oh, and it's cancer. That's so cute. Kemba Walker, your replacement.
Food.
I got the Sixers, man. We right at them all year.
Sixers by 40.
Sixers by 43. Sixers by 76. Stop playing.
Like, Brad, like, it's going to be so funny to see Brad Stevens struggle. Like, just because he's had the upper hand on us for the past couple of years. Just in a lot of these big games, especially in, like, the Christmas Day games. Like, just as you tell about it, he always makes us look like a step slow. But I think the season of just everyone improving and coming back and it being in our building too, which I'm definitely going to the game, made it a tradition. It's going to be crazy. We're going to beat the bricks off Boston.
Clap your hands, everybody.
That plane back to Boston, going to be everybody going to be sick. So I cannot wait for that.
We got to deal with. They remember we went to their place last year. And they beat us first. Was it the first game of the year? It was the first game of the year. And they beat us. We had Fultz. We were believing in Fultz. But my boy Fultz can come back in Orlando and do some damage. But
interesting.
Anyway, yeah, I got
Ben would have. And then when Ben. Yo, Ben definitely going to take a three that night, too. So when he had his first three against Boston.
That thing going to be whop.
Yo. It's just going to be jumping after that. I'm telling you, we had the conversation.
We got a different type of team.
Like. When he hits first three, the other team will have to call a timeout because it's going to be in, like, such a rhythm, like, where it's like, all right, we scored two or three straight. Like, he just in transition. Like, give that shit to somebody. Somebody just drop it back to him. He just.
I was like, Markel hit it in the preseason. They went crazy. I can't imagine Ben hitting a three. All right, so next game we're getting all crazy. We got Denver and Portland.
Yeah, rematch of that seven games. That was a real interesting series for us hoop heads.
I'm taking Denver just because of that. Because I think it was so hard for the team that's going to be hungry. They're going to want to get that W. They probably have MPJ playing by then, right, for that first game of the year. I think Portland has much more of a newer roster. So they're going to have to kind of get it together a little bit.
Yeah, no, I went the other way.
They don't have Aminu anymore. I don't think they're. Are they gonna have Nurkic? Maybe he'll be back. Right, yeah, sure, but they got Whiteside, so he may be the start. Like, you never know. They're gonna have a different type team, different type vibe. I think it's gonna be a little bit for them to start figuring it out during the season. And I'll just take the Nuggets for that night.
I'm taking Portland. I think Dame was just a little banged up. Remember the rib injury he had last year, so we weren't really seeing the best of him. Especially even later in that series after that. After he killed OKC, like, you could tell, like, he's just taking a dip, just with, I guess, his fitness. But him and CJ, man, like, another year together, another year of continuity, another year of building, like, still two elite guards. And whereas I like Murray and I like Harris, those two guys, they could both give you 30 on that opening night. And Whiteside now gives him a lot more stability in the paint, and you can kind of slide Nurkic over to the four. If he is playing anything into that, you can. Sometimes teams will do that though.
Nah, bro, you can't.
Like if it's Millsap, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's Millsap and Jokic, like, it could be Whiteside.
They do Plumlee and Jokic sometimes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know how you play any of those guys at the four.
But all right, so you can even play Whiteside and Collins. Like, they like Portland. Portland is they're solid.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. I take Portland, especially because they're home. All right, the next game that we'll go to, we have the Houston Rockets and the Milwaukee Bucks, NBA TNT on Thursday, October 24th, taking the Rockets in Houston. I think, you know, it gets with Russ and Harden. Like, Houston's, that's going to be the first time I think where Houston's, like, typically a quieter building. Like, it gets lit when Harden's going on runs, but, like, I think it's going to be people on their feet, like, from start to finish there. They haven't had a real exciting team. I mean, Houston's been exciting for the past couple of years, but, like, I think the last time it was crazy and it was T-Mac and Yao years. So
I got Houston in that game too at home. Bucks start out 0-1. We start out 1-0.
Yeah.
Don't have much to say about that. I think Harden and Westbrook, you know, their first game together. It's gonna be pretty lit in there. So
both going for, like, a double double that night.
For sure.
Yeah. High double double. After that, then we got the Clippers Warriors that night.
Wednesday something.
That's this Thursday. All
right, there. Yeah. So who's home?
Warriors are home. Clippers just coming right down the street though.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm taking my boy Steph. He got signed to prove. Said, "Kawhi, you beat me when you were in Toronto. I got my young boy D'Lo with me. I got Willie Cauley Stein. He's about to be catching these lobs. Clay, get well, boy. Steph gonna take it that night." Everybody got the Clippers.
How much you think Steph has that night? If I had to give you, you had to give me like a range.
41.
Wow.
Yeah, 41. Would that be their first game of the year?
He's not giving Pat Bev 41.
41, easy. No. 41. 42. Why not? Why are you acting like Pat Beverly can guard Steph?
If he'd
be cooking Pat Beverly. He cooks everybody, first of all. Any guards, he's cooking Pat Beverly. Like, that's not anything I'm worried about. Mm. Even though he plays good defense. But now, Steph's a marksman. You can't guard that.
Taking the Clippers. I think after the Clippers lose to the Lakers, they're going to obviously want to at least prove they can beat some top-level teams, especially if Kawhi plays that game. The Warriors don't really have anything for him, so it's just a bun after that. Next game we got the Friday on ESPN, Dallas versus New Orleans in New Orleans. I think that's the first home game. Yeah, That's a matchup, I guess, that we should keep our eye on for the next couple of years in the West, just because you have
the cute coming up teams. Oh, you got KP and Doncic.
Those teams
aren't competing They're not competing with the Clippers and Lakers for the next three, four years.
Yeah, I know. But, like, they're more of a problem than younger teams we've seen in the past, and that's a testament to how good the NBA has gotten. Like, even the young teams, like, don't slip coming into Dallas, right? Because KP and Doncic can easily just, the Lakers, like, they're gonna have to be focused that game. So I love that about the NBA. Like, even the lower level teams is gonna be a hard fall game. Like, you're gonna travel Atlanta, that used to be an easy dub. Now
Trae Young. But it's just the league. It's just honestly the league getting more balanced though, because like teams like the Hawks were good before. Like Hawks were good when they had Horford. Like those years when the Hawks had Horford, when the Suns had that. Like teams were more balanced.
But we haven't seen like they're gonna be like a seven seed in the West this year is gonna be a team that could beat the two. Like more than like not easily beat the two, but it's like it's feasible. Like it's a lot more feasible than other years.
I mean, yeah, it was like that last year though. Who's, you know? Yeah. I feel you.
Where it's like it's just one bad thing goes wrong for that two seed, like whether it be Houston, like and they're playing, I don't know, who gets stuck in the seven, like KP and Doncic. And, that sounds crazy. Never mind. Houston beat Dallas. Let's keep going. We got Utah and the Lakers that night. If Bron and AD are playing, Lakers, so sorry,
he's
Utah.
Got a Lakers?
Yeah, sorry, Utah.
I take the Lakers, too. Not much to say about that one. It's going to be early in the year. They're going to be having something to prove, even though Bron teams typically start slow. But yeah. I think they get it done those first two games of the year.
All right, so let me ask you this, just as like our final question before we wrap it up. Which player do you think, when they return to their home building after this being the first season on their new team, is going to receive the worst reaction? And then give me the player that you think is going to receive the best reaction.
I think we'll agree on this one. It's pretty straightforward. I think the worst reaction will have to be Kyrie Irving returning to Boston. Yeah. I think Kyrie returning to Boston.
This is nasty, too.
Because, I mean, I don't know. There's ones we could throw. I don't want to know if you want to throw AD in there, but I think AD demanded the trade. They kind of knew what it was. He left, blah, blah. He's going to get booed, but it's not the same type nasty that Boston is. You know what I mean? So
like it's going to be some slurs at Kyrie.
And then
that's not warranted, though. Bill, like, this is one of the things I wasn't happy with. Like the narrative that was put behind Kyrie for so long, like that he was just a shit guy. Like and, like, yeah, he may not have been the best teammate, but he wasn't so bad. Like, they're still in the playoffs, man. Like they weren't what the team wanted him to be. But when Marcus Smart, like, that held a lot of weight with me, I guess. When Marcus Smart went on a Get Up, and he was talking about like how he loved Kyrie, and like so he was like the one veteran guy on the team. Like, he's actually coming out. I was like, that's how I give it up on a week to week basis. Like the young guys, because they're the Tatum and the Brown. Like maybe they do things a different way, but like I don't know. Some people could put up with Kyrie, and I think that was just kind of blown out of proportion. So he will get the worst reaction. You're right.
And the best reaction will easily be Russell Westbrook going back to OKC.
Yeah.
Just everything he's done for that franchise and his sacrifice. And he stayed when KD left. He stayed when, you know, all these guys left. He never demanded a trade. He stayed up in that small market, Oklahoma City. They're going to go nuts for him. Talking standing ovation, video tribute, all that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to love her. They probably chant his name.
Yeah, it's definitely. And again, all the players that have left, like, he's going to be the first one to have his jersey retired by OKC.
And he deserves it. Like, yeah. Like, no doubt about it. Just a couple more notable, before we wrap this up, a couple more notable players returning to their former teams. Tell me what you think. I'll name them. You tell me what you think, how it's going to be. Kristaps Porzingis, November 15th, returning to the Knicks, returning to New York to play the Knicks. November 15th.
Yeah, I think it's – they're going to beat the bricks off the Knicks, but I think – New York kind of knows that they're front off.
Beat the bricks off the Knicks? I don't think the Knicks are going to be that trash.
Bro, Doncic and KP is going to be – Rick Carlisle is not no like slob of a coach. Like, he going to go in there and like they going to smoke the Knicks.
Leave those fizz though. Okay, yeah. So what do you think the crowds – I'm not talking about the game.
I think it's going to – there may be a couple boosts like the first quarter, but like they know Dolan and all that. That whole organization is just weird.
He's
like,
going
to
get his ass
beat. Everyone just wants to get out of New York.
November 24th, Jimmy Butler returns to Philadelphia.
He'll get booed, but, like, it's more of like, you're a sucker booer. Because we still loved Jimmy up until the point we found out he was leaving.
Yeah.
So, like, it'll be a spattering of boos. Like, a couple people will cheer. I'll be one of those people I was begging.
I think we'll boo him a little bit. Like, I think it's going to be one of those things where it's like we boo him a little bit, but then it's just enough people that can kind of appreciate what he did for us. He never really was committed to us. He just got traded to us. Yeah. You know, and we're going to be good. So it's not one of those things where we're going to need to boo him all crazy. Like,
It's almost going to be a shame. It's like, you want to go play in Miami, dummy.
Exactly.
Like,
that's what it's
you
that's
you're the championship team.
Okay, let me see. November 28th, Anthony Davis returns to New Orleans.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... There are going to be a lot of boos, but New Orleans fans aren't like that, man. Like, they're going to be just happier that they have a good team and, like, happy to cheer them on. And because, I don't know,
But we'll see. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it could be a hostile environment. But I've never seen New Orleans get to the point where it's like,
We kind of talked about it a little bit. It's New Orleans. I don't think they'll be that rowdy. They'll boo them a little bit, but they kind of knew what the deal was. All right, I got a couple more for you. November 28th. Now, we already talked about Kyrie returning to Boston. Yeah. We both think he'll get showered with booze. December 12th. Interesting one. Kawhi Leonard returns to Toronto.
I think, yeah, he gets a standing ovation.
I agree.
Definitely standing ovation. Like, anytime you go and win a championship somewhere, and he did it the right way, like, as Kawhi does everything, like, he's just calm, cool, collected, didn't really sway you guys one way or the other, like, kind of let the media write the story.
Bro, I'm not even trying to, like, be fun. Like, they probably should retire his jersey, bro.
Yeah.
Raptors, not like the Raptors been around that long. They're not like one of those teams that have been waiting for a championship forever. But, you know what I'm saying? He brought a chip to that city, like, straight up. Like, y'all get on my back. Let's go win this. And I'm going back home after. Like, that was his, you know, goal to win a chip coming off what he's coming off. All right, two more. December 13th is very important to us, obviously, because he's on our team now. Our Horford returns to Boston. That is a very interesting
one. Boston, if... Boston's a city that knows basketball, and I think they'll cheer Al Horford. But just
There's been rumbles like, you couldn't take a little bit less to play with us. You're really just gonna play with the rivals for a little bit more. Like, do you really think they're better than us?
How do you boo Al Horford? Like, Al Horford doesn't say anything. He's just like, he's just gonna be like, all right, like, whatever. We're mad you left, but.
So, I don't know. So it's hard to be. Or just like,
no, I just think it's just nothing. There's going to be some booze, but like it's hard to give a guy that doesn't really show his personality in the media. It's just a stand-up guy, like you said. Just show a wide range of emotion of booze.
Okay. And the last one, Paul George returns to OKC. So we already talked about Russ. You know, Russ is obviously going to get a standing ovation. You know, he's going to get showered with cheers and all that. Paul George, interesting one. He kind of rebuilt the whole franchise.
Yeah, there'll be some boos, but like I think at that point, like OKC's not gonna. I don't know when they play the Clippers on the schedule, but I think it's gonna be long enough in the season because he's gonna be out, so they'll probably miss the first meeting with them.
December 23rd is the first game, the first time he played him, so he'll be back by then.
No, he's supposed to miss the first 6 weeks, bro.
December 23rd. That's not the first 6 weeks.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. My bad.
It's like 2 weeks. Okay. Missed it 2 months later. The season's done in October. He should be back by then. Probably got a couple games under his belt too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there are going to be a lot of people at those OKC games. That team's not going to beat.
He's coming back. They're going to go.
you just go back to see Paul. He was there for 2 years.
Yeah, but they pack their court every game. I know they had Russ and all that.
But it's not, like, I don't know.
Why would they not? They still won't. Yeah.
It's not going to be nasty. I just don't look at Portland. Like, when KD, like, that was dirty and, like, it was just kind of one of the craziest scenes to see, but Paul George is there 2 years.
KD was what do you think was the craziest? I think Brian was the craziest. When Brian went back to Cleveland, when he was in Miami, bro, that was ridiculous. That might have been worse than KD with the cupcakes and all that.
Yeah, Brian going back to Cleveland was the worst thing I've seen in my life. Because it was all directed at one man for a whole game, and he started cooking him too.
Snap on him back.
As you should, but
that's all we got for today. You know, got some football talk in there, some baseball, you know. NBA schedule coming back around. These off-season ones are pretty sporadic, but we like to touch on everything. Pause that. Did the NBA schedule, tip-off predictions and all that. Y'all know the vibes, though. TNT Hoops, episode 22.
Yeah, 22. Yeah. Once again, thank you guys for listening. Can't wait till NBA season gets back so we can get these episodes out once a week again. But follow us on the socials, TNT Hoop Podcast, Instagram, Twitter.
Check for our polls. We post polls on our Twitters, on Instagram, you know, participate in those, some things we talk about on the show. Give us input. Like we said, we gave a couple friends reached out. You know, we got them on the podcast. So if you want to do the same, just hit us up and you'll be on there.
Yeah, also looking for a logo for season 2. I want to throw that out there. You know a designer out there or you want to design a logo, throw something out there, get a little shout out, Brandon, maybe toss you a couple dollars too. TNT Hoops.
For sure. One. Smiles when the pack came in. Now we gotta break this down.